Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the last home group meeting of 2018. Amen. People always say, I just don't know where the year went. Well, I know where it went. Anyway, we're just thankful that everybody has come out tonight, and everybody has consistently come out for your faithfulness to the Word of God and to the home group meeting. And everybody that has listened around the world, I think this year I will probably beat my mark of having over 250,000 hits on my website. That, of course, the home group meeting is uploaded. And so I like to personally, from the bottom of my heart, thank everybody that listens to the teachings over the internet and the emails that I get. And it's just, I'm just very, very thankful for that. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 59. You've got to remember that we are in Kinnamoth. We are in the wilderness of Kinnamoth. This is the fourth wilderness that we have entered into. And so we are in the wilderness of Kinnamoth. And in that wilderness, the word for that would be forward progression. And that is what God was looking for in the children of Israel. He was looking for that forward progression. And so keep that in mind as we go through Wilderness Truths of Modern Times, number 59. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and look at a number of points that we looked at last month, because there were some really, really good points that I think we need to go over and lay a little foundation again. Amen. And so the first point, and I got to say, this is, as I said last time, if you didn't get anything at all out of the teaching last month, and the first thing I said is, and there is no defeat in God. Amen. Last month we looked at victory, and that is a tremendous understanding that there is no defeat in God. God has never, ever been defeated. And he will never ever be defeated. And as long as we are in God, we too will never ever be defeated. Now that is a wonderful thought to know, that there is no defeat in God. The second point we looked at, it's really, really important, is most often we are our greatest enemy. Amen? We like to blame Satan, and yeah, he's out there, but we like to blame everybody else and so forth, but actually when it's all said and done, we are our greatest enemy. And of course, that is our tongue. If we could ever control our tongue, well, James has a lot to say about our tongue, but often it's not a brother or a sister or Satan or whatever, but it's we are our greatest enemy. And the third point that we looked at, it is not our wit and our intelligence that why we are blessed. It is because God has blessed us. We are not that intelligent. We're not that wonderful and witty and, we have all the answers. That's not why we are blessed. We are blessed because God has blessed us. And we must understand that it's God's blessings in our life that enables us to do those things that we do. I got two more points before I get into what I'd like to share tonight. And number five is, Moses killed the Egyptian. But he had the ability to do that. He had the ability to kill the Egyptian, as we have the ability to do things. But if we move in our own strength, then we lose God's victory. And that's what happened to Moses. Moses, he killed that Egyptian and he buried him. And he moved in his own strength. And we kind of talked about that last month, how Moses and why he did that. But because he did that, Moses missed out on the victory that God had for him and it prolonged the work that God wanted to do in his life and in the children of Israel's life. So we can do things in our strength for God. But if we do things in our strength for God, then we will miss out on what God wants to be done in our lives. We will not have God's best. And the last point, the sixth point is, we must never ever desire to strive with someone or something, even Satan. And again, we must never desire to strive with someone or something, even Satan. Our focus must always be on serving God and keep our nose out of God's business. Our focus must always be on serving God. That should always be our focus. And if our focus is serving God, then no matter what we will do, since we're in God, we will be always victorious. It's impossible not to be victorious if we're serving God. Because there's no defeat in God. It's impossible. There is no defeat in God. And so if we are in Christ, if we're serving God, then we will always, always be victorious. Amen? Very important point. Tonight, what are the truths for modern times, number 56. The text verse there is Isaiah 55:8-9. Says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So tonight what I'd like to talk about, I'd like to talk about God's will. God's will. Now, there's tons and tons of books out there and all of this. The Bible talks about God's permissive will, God's perfect will, and stuff like that. Well, I think there's only God's will. There's only God's will. Either you are in God's will or you're not in God's will. There is no, you know, perfect will and permissive will and, you know, no. It's either you are in God's will or you're not in God's will. So here's kind of a little definition. We'll go ahead and line up some things here when we talk about God's will. And as long as we are not in sin, as long as we're not in sin, and we know that. We know that we're not in sin. And whatsoever we are doing, and we know God has led us there, okay? So as long as we know we're not in sin, and you know, we know when we're in sin, don't we? Does anybody here sin and not know it? Well, the definition of sin is to know right but do wrong, right? We miss the mark. So when we sin, we know it. And if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Praise God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. But if we, you know, if we know we're not in sin, and we know that God has led us there, we know God has led us there, then we know we are in God's will. Whatever you are doing right now in your life, as long as you're not over in sin, and as long as you know God has led you there, then whatever you're doing has to be God's will. Because God doesn't set us up for failure. He doesn't say, "Oh, let's see if I'm going to get Kathy. I'm going to see if I can trip her up. Or I'm going to see if I can get her off track." Well, God doesn't do that. He does it. When we get off track, we get off track, you know? God has to gently get us, well, maybe not so gentle sometimes, but God has to get us, you know, back on track, amen? And there's only God's will. And then not being in God's will. So either you're in God's will or you're not in God's will. Amen? God's will. Confronting a hostile enemy in or out of the will of God makes a heap of difference. Joshua faced the children of Ai both out of and in the will of God. And here it's in Joshua 7:2 is what we're talking about. And the different results were opposite. One of defeat and one of victory. And I'll quickly paraphrase what happened. After that wonderful battle, the victory of Jericho, they marched around, they broke the trumpets, they blew the horns, the walls fell down, and they went in and they destroyed the city of Jericho. Well, the next city was a city called Ai. And they were resting on their laurels. They said, "Well, yeah, God delivered us, and it's on, you know, we don't need to talk to the Lord. We don't need to ask the Lord what, you know, what we should do. We don't need to send our army. We only need, they have a small city. We only need 2,000 or 3,000. And so, out of the will of God, they went up, the children of Israel went up to Ai, and they were soundly trounced. Well, after there was, as they found out that there was a man by the name of Achan, there was, and it's a long story, and they found out that there was sin in the camp with Achan, and after they dealt with Achan, they went up and they took Ai. The first time they went up, they were out of God's will because there was sin in the camp. The second time they went up, they got the sin dealt with, and they went up and they took the city of Ai, which was a big stronghold. Amen. It is good. If God said to confront, then we need to do that. Amen. If God wants us to go to fight or go to battle, we need to do that. But we need to do that in God's will. We need to do that in God's will. One of the reasons why most Christians live in defeat today is they face the enemy contrary to the intentions of God. Now, of course, I'm using that word enemy, and the word enemy is very, very, you know, inclusive. I mean, you know, it could be Satan, it could be a sickness, there's all kind of things you can attach to that word enemy. Amen? And so I'm going to use that, you know, that term enemy. But you know, one of the reasons why many Christians live in defeat today is they face the enemy, whatever that situation is, contrary to the intentions of God. God wants us to face the enemy, whatever it is, a certain way. We just don't face the enemy any way that we want to. God has a certain way for us to face the enemy. And that's with Joshua. You know, God had a way for the children of Israel to defeat Ai. And they didn't do that. So God has a way for us to face the enemy. Amen? Of course, they face the world and life itself in the same way. Many Christians that are moving outside of God's will, they handle the things of God the same way they handle the things of the world. Well, you can't handle the things of the world and the things of God the same way, because one is carnal and one is spiritual. So for us to be able to handle the things of God, we can't think and do and walk and say and do all of those things and, you know, with God the way that we handle the world. It just will not happen. Amen? They have much in their hearts which is contrary to God, and thus they are defeated, as was Joshua and Ai. God knows our heart. Amen? And He will allow things into our lives to expose our heart to us. Say, well, why did Ai, you know, why did the children of Israel, you know, all those people die? And, you know, because God will allow things into our lives to expose our heart. Believe it or not, that is one of God's major roles in our life. It's not to make us rich and famous and popular and grand and all that good stuff. God wants to expose our heart to us. Because He knows if He can expose our heart to us, then we're going to have to make a decision. And God's grand goal in our life is to conform us into the character and the nature of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if He cannot expose our heart to us, we will never, ever be conformed into the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. Never. It's impossible. It won't. Because we will be thinking that we are something that we're not. We'll be going this direction and going that direction and not going the way that God wants us. We will be doing the things that we want to do. And the carnal man receives not the things of God, for their spiritual will be discerned. The only way for us to be able to become conformed into the character and image of Jesus Christ is when we allow God to expose our heart to us. Wow, that is a tremendous revelation in most lives. Amen? The only place of victory is in harmony with God. Boy, you can underline that right there. Just an asterisk beside that, because that is true. The only place of victory is in harmony with God. I cannot depend upon my own spirit, my own thoughts, my own faith, my own strength for victory. I can't do that. I do not have the ability to always be victorious. I don't have that. Instead of moving in line with God, many work up an emotional stir against the enemy. Amen? You've probably been in churches like that. You know, the enemy did this and the enemy did that. You know, the one that always kind of tickles me is when people come up to me and say, we're going to take back what the enemy has stole. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, you're supposed to be a Christian. How can you allow the enemy to steal something from you? Amen? The enemy can't steal anything from me. If I'm walking in the Lord, with the Lord, if I'm doing the things that God wants me to do, and you know, I'm in His will, and you know, the devil can't steal things from me. He can't take anything from me. No, no, no. This seems to fortify themselves, and it certainly deludes them. There's so many Christians, and I see, you know, well, yeah, I see so many Christians, and they get all of these emotional sayings and all these emotions, and they stir up their emotions and they get their emotions going, and then they, you know, the more they do it, the more they fortify themselves, and the more everybody gets together. And what they're doing, they're only fooling themselves. They're only fooling themselves, and they need to walk in the truth of the Word, of the Word of God. Amen? And God, words are cheap. In God, words are cheap. It takes real obedience to be a victor. Amen? In God, words is cheap. I have learned, one thing I have learned in my 57 years of walking with the Lord, to shut my mouth. That's what God desires to work in our lives, to get us to know when to speak and when not to speak. Always a chatty Cathy, talkative person tells me so much about that person. If God can't get you to close your mouth and stop talking, then God can't use you. He just can't. You know, because you're disqualified, you're self-assertive. I can tell you story after story after story of people that just talk. And you know what they're saying usually? Nothing. They're not saying much. But in God, words are cheap. And it takes real obedience. It takes real obedience to be a victor in God. Amen. But when we are moving with God against the enemy, the battle is not ours in the first place. And in the second place, the victory is certain. Amen? Do you believe that? The victory is certain. Whatever the enemy is, whatever the enemy, you know, you name the enemy. And, you know, whatever it is, that battle is not ours. Now, we have a part to play in that, but the battle is not ours. And the victory is certain. Now, if you go into a battle and you're not sure about the victory, then you could get defeated. So we must really come to the understanding that in God there's no defeat. And if we're in Him, then we will always, it's impossible to lose. It's impossible to lose. Exodus 14:13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still." I would say, shut your mouth, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And of course, we know this is in the very first wilderness, when children of Israel, they crossed on dry land, and the chariots were still coming, and they were in the water, and all of a sudden, boom, the water closed. And then it was the song of Miriam, the horse and the rider, they fell into the sea, and all the children of Israel, they were fearful, and God, and Moses said, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God's intention is for us to win. But I hear Christians singing the blues in defeat. That's not what God is looking for. And I would ask them, what happened? Every time we move outside of God's will, we will lose. And you need to let that thought sink in for a second. Every time we move outside of God's will, we lose. Now, you're saying, "Dave, did you ever move outside of God's will?" And I'm going to say, "Yes, I have." And you know what happened? I lost. It's a spiritual principle. In God, there is only victory. In God's will, there is only victory. And as long as we move in God's will, there will be victory. As we're making some plans for, you know, 2019, even with the home group, you know, home group meeting here, we have to be in God's will. Because we can do all of this stuff. We can make all these great plans and do all of this stuff. But if that's not what God wants, then we're going to lose. no matter how wonderful it is, and no matter how many people come, and no matter, you know, how much we orchestrate that, if that is not what God wants, then we will lose. Amen? Since the battle is not ours, but God's, we can afford to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Even while moving, one can still, even while moving, one can stand still in God. Amen? Even while moving, one can stand still in God. Even while engaged in a battle, one can be at rest. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there? When your heart is ready to bust and all the world is just seems like, you know, but still in your heart there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, and most people just wouldn't understand that. Well, why that's happening is because you're in God's will. And this is happening, but even though, you know, and you can't deny that, but there's a peace and there's a joy and there's a love, not because of what you're going through. That's not what where the love and the joy, all of that comes from your focus being on God. Your focus is on God. He's going to see me through. I'm going to win in the end. And because of that, then there's that joy and there's that rest. And you can endure anything. And God, one can do nothing and at the same time accomplish a mighty deed. Wow. And God, one can do nothing and at the same time accomplish mighty deeds. I would say the less that we do, the more we can do. The less that we do, we try to get our plans in there, and, you know, because, you know, we have abilities, you know. We can do things. I got money. I can do things. I have 2 master's degrees. I can do things. I can. But the more that I do, the less God can do. And the less that I do, the more God can do. Wow. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God which worketh in you," now notice, "both to will, that's my will, not God's will, to will and to do of His good pleasure." That's my will, right? Both to will, and that is actually to change my will so that I can do His good pleasure. Wow, powerful verse. We must learn how to just stand still while moving in God. Deep thoughts. We stand still while moving in God by surrendering our works, our hopes, our plans, our dreams, our intentions, all of the things that we want to do. I really enjoyed Brother Dean earlier. We were talking about karate, and I was into Bruce Lee, and he was into Bruce Lee, and all of the kung fu, and all that good stuff. But he got out of karate because he gave his heart to the Lord. He had all these plans. He was going to, you know, become a black belt and go to Japan and Okinawa and do all of these things. But he went to, I think it was the Church of God, you know, meeting, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And God kind of, you know, got him out of that. Because God had a plan, and he had a will for his life. Amen. Hebrews 4:10 says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works." So if we're striving, if we're doing things, if we're, you know, trying to, you know, do things for God, then we're not at rest. And we need to cease. You know, cease from our own work and allow God to do that as God did from Him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We stand still while moving in God by surrendering our works and our dreams. And that's tough to do. That's tough to do. Because we're always told, you know, be self-reliant and, you know, yeah, do this and do that. Well, to a point, as long as we go ahead and we kind of dovetail, you know, our hopes and our dreams and plans into what God wants, And then here go ahead and here we'll find them. Amen. If we can surrender our own works and our own strength and rest in God, He can give us from Himself all that we need. All that we need. Everything that we need. It's His victory. It's His battle. He knows what we need. And we don't receive of Him because we're out there and we're trying to do whatever we can do. And God's saying, hey, let me slow down. Hey, I got it. You know, I got it. It's right. And we don't receive what we need from Him because we're trying to provide our own things. He can accomplish His will in and through us if we can kind of slow down. It is never about the work. Always remember that. It is never about the work being done. And yes, work will get done, but it's never about the work. But it's always about the work that's being done in us. No matter what you do in ministry, I don't care if you travel around and, or if you're a pastor or teach Sunday school or whatever, you know, it's never about that work. It's never about what you're doing for God. It's always about God working in you. It's about the work that God is able to do in you as you do that work. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship. I like that German word for workmanship, David. It's Baustelle. I don't know why I like that word, Baustelle. But we are God's Baustelle. We are His workmanship. It's not the ministry. It's not the church. It's not all the things that we do. We are His workmanship. And He works and He breaks us and He molds us and He corrects us. And we are His workmanship. Amen. We can meet the problem in a storm or a difficulty in the power of God. That is victory. Catastrophe and defeat occurs when we attempt to face and overcome such things in our own strength. The reason why some Christians do not progress because they try to do things in their own strength. Remember, Kenobot is about forward progress. That's what God was looking for in the children of Israel. Remember, each one of those eight wildernesses that they walked through, there was a spiritual significance. And in Kenobot, God was looking for forward progress. In Sinai, he was glory. Sinai means glory. God wanted to show His glory to the children of Israel, but they couldn't. He could only show His glory to Moses. Because everybody else was afraid. And they didn't want, the lightning and the thunder, you go talk to God, Moses. And so Moses said, sure, I will do that. Amen? Amen? And that also is the reason why some Christians never possess that which God has for them. You see, that is the downside. The Christians, remember, to go to heaven, all it takes is just to believe that Jesus died for your sins. That's it. That's all it takes. You don't have to do anything else. Now, some people, that's good enough. But that's not enough for me. I want to believe that Jesus died for my sins. But then again, I want to tell people about Him. I want to tell as many people as I can how much I love Jesus and that He died for my sins. And say it in song or in preaching or in teaching or whatever. But so many Christians, they never possess those things that God has for them because they try to do everything in their own strength and they're moving outside of God's will. And any time you move outside of God's will, there is always loss. Amen? It is not the problem, but our lack of tapping into God. So many times we just, you know, we blame this person or that person or this problem or if I just had this and if I had that and, you know, so forth and so on, you know, all of these problems in our life. But it's never about the problem. It's never about the problem. It's about our lack and ability of tapping into God. In ministry, in life, no matter what we go through. Now, there's no defeating God. No matter what we, you know, there's never a problem that we can't overcome in God. Because there's no defeating God. So if there's a problem and there's a defeat in our life, it's because we haven't tapped into God sufficiently. Amen? Let all of life's confrontations take place in God. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that's God's intention. That's what God wants in our lives. Now, do I do that? No. I don't do that. But that's what God wants. Let all of our life's confrontations take place in God. Wow. It is not healthy to confront our enemies outside of God. Only in God will we be able to move forward. Only in God will there be that forward progress that God was looking for in the children of Israel in the wilderness of Kinemah. Amen? Only in God will we be able to progress or push forward into God. Progress in God comes only by way of walking in God's will and obedience. You can never, ever walk in God's will and not be obedient. You must always, always be obedient to what God wants for your life if you're going to be in His will. It's a requirement. That is a requirement for being in God's will. That is a requirement for confronting every problem in your life, in God, And the requirement is we must be obedient. We must be obedient. And if we are obedient to God, then guess what? We're in God's will. Some parting thoughts. It is not healthy to confront the enemies outside of God's will, as I said. So that would frighten me. Almost anything outside of God's will, almost anything outside of God frightens me. It would frighten me to choose a mate even outside of God. And I was writing this, I was thinking of my sweet and beautiful wife. I didn't pick her. I didn't. I didn't pick Karen. I didn't pick her. Oh, I met her and I saw her. Matter of fact, the first time I saw her, I went, boo, 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 woo! Lord have mercy. Okay, the first time I saw her, she was sitting at a desk at the Naval Hospital, BOQ, and she was sitting at this desk, and I was walking up with some friends of mine, coming out of O-Watch, going up over to the right, and there she was sitting. I went, my God! What? Wow! Oh, I got... I gotta get to know her. Man, oh man. I didn't pick her. God picked her. God had a plan. And he just arranged the circumstances so that I could come walking by. And that was it. And almost 40 years later, traveling around, kids, I mean, all of those good things. Amen. No enemy can conquer us if we are walking in God's will. Nothing. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Nothing. Nothing will be able to defeat us. Nothing will be able to defeat us if we're walking in God's will. It is rather restful to let God handle things. To go along for the ride. Now that's what my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, told me. Before I went to Germany in 1996, when the family moved to Stuttgart, and my Bible teacher Charles Hahn was being gathered to his elders. He had Merkel cell cancer, and he said, "Well, how could he die of cancer?" Well, he died of cancer because God was using him to show millions and millions of people how to die in God. And I was one of those. And I talked to him on the phone because I couldn't get a chance to go down and see him before we left. And I said to him, he called me Prophet Minor and I called him Prophet Major. And I said, "Well, Prophet Major, do you have any advice for me?" And he said, "Have you not been listening?" And I just kind of, and he always had a way of shutting my mouth. And I said, "Yes, I have." He says, "I know you have." And he said, "Just give them Jesus. Just give them Jesus." I mean, that's it. And then he said, "And just go along for the ride." Now, I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand it. I'd go along for the ride. Wow.
Well, years later, in some maturity, and bumping my head, and some disasters, and this problem and that problem, I kind of understood now what he's talking about, just go along for the ride. Then it really doesn't matter what path your life takes, nor what you confront. It really doesn't matter what your life takes, what happens in your life. If you're in the will of God and you're moving in Him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you and what happens to you. It doesn't matter. More matters what you confront. Amen. Did you get that? If we are walking in God's will, it does not matter. Well, what we do. It does not matter what happens to us.
It doesn't matter. Either you get Merkel cell cancer or not. If you're walking in God, it does not matter. It does not matter what happens to us.
What matters? Are we in God's will? That's what matters. Are we in God's will? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love,
your mercy, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for your blessings, Father, Lord, in our life.
Oh, God, we love you tonight. Brother Dean said, your glory. You know, when you say glory, Father, Lord God, my heart is leaped within me, Father. Oh, how glorious you are, Father. We love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your will, Father, Lord God. Being in your will, Father, Lord. Help us, Father, Lord God. Strengthen us with might in the inward man, that we would always, always be in your will, Father. But Lord, we want to be in your will. We want to do what you want us to do, Father, Lord God. We want to be obedient to you, Father. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. We just love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for all of these home group meetings that we've had here in 2018, Father, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. And we know, Father, Lord, that 2019 is going to be greater, Father, Lord God. Lord, and we will confront those enemies, Father, Lord, in you, Father, Lord, no matter what they are, Father, Lord God. And we will overcome them, Father, Lord. We will be victorious, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we know that as long as we stay in your will, Father. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.